Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to The Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Our mid-month episode featuring Breaking Beauty news, what products we're loving
and not so much,
plus insider celebrity hair and makeup tips.
And the trends that are blowing up our DMs, we've got the hot takes coming right up. Hey guys, welcome, welcome.
So we're back in the studio with our second edition of The Glowdown. This is Jill chatting, by the way, and we're really excited. We got a lot of feedback about the last episode, so thanks for tuning in, where we gave you that scoop on Glossier launching and Carlene's foot is doing better, just giving you guys the update. But today we're taking a little bit more of a Hollywood angle, which is awesome.
Yeah, well, we had to. We had a couple of major players come into town recently. The preeminent hair colorist of the world, Tracy Cunningham. She colors LA's super elite, from Emma Stone to the Kardashians and the Jenners and many, J-Lo. many more.
Emma Stone, yeah, like you mentioned Emma Stone, which is, yeah. I'm just obsessed with her, so I said it twice. But J-Lo, I think, is obviously somebody that people are always trying to emulate her caramel color as well.
Totes.
Yeah. And she just opened a second salon in LA, which I didn't know.
Yeah. It's a little gem. I wrote about it in Elle Canada.
Oh, nice.
Oops. That's a sneak peek. Scoop. It's in October. Pick it up. We've also got the Kardashian clan's makeup artist, Joyce Benelli, who we got some inside intel from.
Yeah. She was in town for a makeup event, and Joyce, she's probably better known as Kylie's makeup artist. She's definitely, you know, in that whole Kardashian gang or Jenner gang. So she's got some interesting
Mixing
insights.
Mixing up my Kardashians and my Jenners.
Yeah. Finally, there was an interesting event in town that we decided to cover. Mm-hmm. More specifically, our great social media intern, Emily Wraith.
Yes, it's a beauty pageant, Miss Canada.
Miss World Canada. Yeah.
Happened. And
I know what you're thinking, listeners.
We sent Emily out backstage to see if she could uncover the secrets to looking pageant ready. Mm-hmm. And also low key to find out who are these women.
Yeah. Who are they in 2017 competing in a pageant? And I legitimately wanted to know if it's still all about, you know, getting a scholarship, or what the MO is for some of these girls.
Yeah. Is there still a swimsuit competition?
Yeah, I don't
know.
She was reporting
glow down
from the backstage.
So without further ado, this is The Glow Down. All right, first up, Tracy Cunningham. I know she was in town for an academy that she teaches, right?
Mm-hmm. To other hair classes,
hair colorists. Mm-hmm. It was at the East Room where I work. And I know that my colorist, Stacey Staley from Blonde, mm-hmm. was in the audience. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tracy will get into it herself, but first of all, I've got to tell you, I've got to set the scene for this interview.
Okay.
It's on a Saturday, mm-hmm. and she's coming from LA with her whole team. I arrive at the Broadview Hotel.
How big's her team?
She had three stylists with her and herself.
Entourage?
Of sorts, because an LA entourage is very different than like a New York entourage, in my opinion.
Okay.
Less running around with cell phones freaking out, you know? Okay. So we were...
Were there any little dogs?
No dogs to report. Just a lot. So I get there to the Broadview Hotel right on time. I tell the front desk person, I'm here to see Tracy Cunningham. And she kind of gives me like a perplexed look. And she's like, oh, like she was supposed to get here at 6 a.m. They took the red eye. We had instructions to get the room ready early, but they're not here. And I was like, oh, and I turn over my shoulder and I see Tracy, who I've never met, but it can only be her because I know her from Instagram, and her team rolling in with suitcases upon suitcases of product and extensions and probably mannequin heads and all this stuff. Yeah. And I like duck out of the way because I'm realizing in that moment that she hasn't even made it to the hotel yet of her red eye.
Yeah, you're like, can I get you a Caesar?
Yeah, like I know that feeling when you've flown all night and you feel horrible and you haven't even had a shower. And I'm thinking, what on earth am I going to do here?
You're like, you're ready to chat, aren't you?
I stepped away and I just let them check in and whatever. And I go back up to the desk and I say, you know, I'm here for the interview, but I'm realizing now they're only getting here. Should we scale it back or I can come back in an hour? I don't have a lot of window, but I can give them time to take a shower. And then she called up to the room and Tracy was just like, nope, send her up, like complete professional. So and they had only had one room ready because there was a few hiccups at the Broadview Hotel because it's brand new, just opened that week. And I'm literally up in her room hanging out with her and her three assistants, her little very well manicured male assistants were already wearing like gel eye patches under their eyes to get rid of any puffiness from the flight. And then we just sat down and got into it. And she was the consummate professional. And I started by asking her about how she got into doing hair in the first place. And she had a very, very famous helping hand.
Can you tell me how you used to do Bette Midler's hair and how that came about?
Well, it was because I was the nanny to her daughter. And I, you know, when I was a kid, I would always do my mom's hair. You know, she was complaining about her hair, and I said, let me try. And I've watched Robert Ramos do her hair so many times, and, you know, and I mean, I really, like, that's all I've ever wanted to do. And, well, that and be a casting director or an agent. I just, you know, I did it every day. I did it every single morning for her.
Amazing.
I just, like, blew out her hair.
And how old were you when you did that?
Bet like 20 something, like 20, 21, 22, 23.
And then when did you start moving into coloring?
I went to beauty school. Mm-hmm. Bet paid for me to go to beauty school. And then, And then I sat down, I was interviewing, and I sat down, and the girl said, do you want to do cut or color? And I said, well, I'd like to do both. And she said, no. She said, but let me tell you something. Cut, if somebody has a haircut like that they love and they, you know, run out of time or money, they can skip it. But color, they can't live without. And I said, okay, color it is.
So we did a call out on our social media to find out what our listeners really wanted to know from Tracy. And we have a question from @GriffinTheAesthetician. She wants to know all about how to protect color-treated hair, shampoos, conditioners, what are like the standbys that Tracy swears by?
First of all, I do want to tell you that after I tried Olaplex, what I love about the product is that you just put a 1/4 ounce of Olaplex into your product, to your bleach, hair lightener, they call it now. It changes everything, but you don't change what you do. You still use the same products. You still use the same shampoo and conditioner you use. Now, when you use it as a at-home treatment, it's a pre-treatment. Mm-hmm. So you put it in your hair, you leave it in. People usually do their chores or, you know, sit around and watch TV and go about their day. They call it a Olaplex bun day. And then they wash and condition their hair, because the only time I've ever heard of anyone not loving Olaplex is when they forget, you know, they think that Olaplex is the conditioner and it will soften your hair. It doesn't do that. It relinks the bonds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then the hair is stronger and the
stronger
color is
and better. Then afterwards you condition it that makes it soft.
Oh.
So in the answering your question about color, by linking your bonds, it does make the hair stronger and the color, the artificial color doesn't fall out of the hair. Mm-hmm. So it is good to do an Olaplex treatment, you know, and then try to use sulfate-free shampoos and conditioners. Mm-hmm.
With that answer, really what you want to be doing is keeping your hair as healthy as possible. Then your color is going to look phenomenal.
Well, it's no surprise that she mentioned Olaplex. She is an ambassador, but honestly, like whether she was or not, any hair colorist like worth their salt these days is using Olaplex when they're coloring, especially blondes. I myself went from dark brown to bleach blonde over the course of about a year. You can read about my journey in the kit. And Olaplex was honestly game changer. Mm-hmm. Like I got lazy about using the at-home treatment and my hair just started to turn to straw, started using it again, and it got so much more silky.
Yeah.
So colorists use it inside the when they're actually doing the treatment, mm-hmm. and then you take like this little bottle home and use it for maintenance too.
Yeah. For someone like Tracy Cunningham, why people seek her out, it's not because they want to go with these crazy colors.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe here and there, but why they're seeking her out and what she's absolutely known for as a signature is making people look phenomenal and very natural. Like, even if you're platinum blonde, somehow it looks like you were born that way.
Yeah.
And she tells this story. I've read her, you know, other interviews with her where she talks about having done this cover for Vogue and she was just melting down on set because they were like, make it edgier. And she's just like, that's not what I'm about.
Yeah.
I'm why people like J-Lo and Emma Stone and Khloe Kardashian come to me is because I make them look their best.
Yeah.
And she even joked to me, said, she's like, listen, there's four hair colors. There's red, there's brown, there's blonde, there is black.
Yeah.
And she's like, you guys are always trying to ask me like how to mix it up and this and that.
Yeah, do not ask Tracy what the trend is for fall because you're going to get shut right down.
But all of that being said, even though she's so well known for color, she has absolutely beautiful curly hair. And I just think there's a lot of misinformation out there about taking care of curly hair. So I couldn't let her go.
And missing information.
Yeah, exactly. And so I couldn't let her go without asking her best tips about taking care of her beautiful curly hair and what products she loves.
I like the Carol's Daughter's Milk, but starts making my hair feel a bit greasy after a while. I like the Pureology. I'm not sure what it's called. It's like clear, but it also has like a tornado inside of it. And it's like cream and it's like gel and conditioner all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Way has a curly hair. The trick with curly hair is, I'm sorry, but you have to just continue buying products all the time because our hair gets sick of it. Like back in the day, I was obsessed with Paul Mitchell foaming pomade. And, you know, I still have to keep a little bit of that in my, you know, my bathroom. Lanza conditioner, it's their leave-in conditioner. I use that a little bit. I literally use everything. Redken has a whole curly line. I use that whole thing. You just have to switch it up all the time.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we have our great social media intern, Emily, and her chat with Joyce Benelli, who is the Kardashian and Jenner makeup queen. She was in town with Shoppers Drug Mart, so let's hear what she has to say. Take it away, Emily.
As someone so bold as Kylie, did she like turn to you for advice when she was putting together her lip kit?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, she was definitely inspired by my dark matte colors that I did on her, and like the brown and the black. And we had, like, a couple of really cool moments with that. And
how about Kim? With the contour kit, of course.
She always FaceTimes me and is like, is this shade? What this shade? Like, you know, like, she's cute. She's, like, always asking for advice. And she's really good with information, you know. She probably asks every makeup artist that she knows, like, their opinion. And then narrows down, like, her like whole situation, because you can't really come out with every single color. So also, just as an artist, I mix so many shades of everything.
You've mentioned that your upcoming makeup line will focus just on a few different products that you love, including, I know, an eyebrow gel. Can you tell us what else we can expect from the makeup line?
Yeah, it's small in the sense of like, for instance, the lipsticks, there isn't 58 shades of lipstick, you know, but there's, it's considered like a full line range of a little bit of everything. But basically for me, just the must-haves, from tools to every part of the makeup. So, yeah, I can't really say so much.
All under wraps.
Yeah.
That's okay.
All under wraps, because anything I, like, say, someone does it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to launch for at least a year and a half if I'm a little lucky, so. But it's going to be just the must-haves of, well, cause what I find is that makeup is really, for every woman, it's a ritual. So, and this is, you know, a general statement, but even I found, like, the girl who's, like, the most tomboyish or absolutely resents girls that wear makeup, and they're, oh, my God, like, look at me. Like, and I talk like this just making fun of, like, everyone and myself included. Like, it's not that serious. But I found, like, someone that, like, really hates just makeup, period. They're the first to jump in my chair when no one's looking and go, what can you do? Like, what would you do, you know, if you had 5 seconds, you know? And I think that it's just human nature. We all want to, like, feel good about ourselves. We all want to be desired. So I feel like everything I do is just, like, more about what brings, like, the confidence out of, like, just even my clients or just anyone I work with. A lot of people are redoing looks, and it's just becoming, like, to me, it's become an epidemic of contouring, like, being so literal. And really, it started from just giving an illusion that maybe someone has more of a jawline, like myself, than I actually do. Like, everyone in my family has, like, no jawline. So it's like, oh, like, that's how it started. I'll, like, get it in there. And something that I have found, just for a tip to go along with this being said, for instance, if you're using a powdered contour, just to go 2 to even 3 shades lighter than what people are doing, because then that way you're actually getting the contour with certain lighting. You're really going to have shaped your face without it being so literal. This mascara is one that I use on a daily basis, and it's the Hypnose Doll Lash. Has to be Doll Lash.
What's different about Doll Lash?
So the wands are different, and this is the one that I like, because you can have, like, a controlled area with the smaller part, and then I like the thicker one just for more volume. And I've been doing this all day, so don't look close. My lashes probably look crazy. But I just, like, love it, because I do really close to the lash line and zhuzh. I like to do, like I was saying, just, like, back and forth, like, really close. It's not really working right now because there's so much on here from right before. But when you kind of do this, it, like, helps to, like, get your lashes to stand up. And this is also after heating your lash curler that's metal, just in case, anyway, you know, with your blow dryer. Mm-hmm. For 1 second, it heats up. Then your lashes are really standing up. And then this adds even more. If you don't have a lash curler, really important to get the side to side and then bringing it up.
All right, now we're taking it to the streets. This is our new segment called On the Street.
Catchy.
We sent Emily in Miss World Canada pageant. It was with a cause, guys. Before you knock it down, it was for, what was it in support of now?
The Children's Wish Foundation, was it not?
Yeah. Beauty with a Purpose was the theme, and funds were raised for the Children's Wish Foundation.
Now, this was even a bit of a sticking point between you and I if we should do this or not.
I know. It's true.
Because I think it's no surprise that any of our listeners, I'm sure, would agree that pageants kind of have a bad rap. Everyone's, you know, sort of wondering really what they're doing around in 2017 still, speaking honestly.
And remember when Trump was, like, sponsoring all of them?
Yeah.
And it was just like,
I can't even deal with that. But yeah, no, he was, like, creeping around in their, like, locker rooms and stuff. Like, just absolutely vile.
It's
something that you think of really belonging in Vegas or some, like, showgirl thing. But you know what? We were frankly really curious about what goes on at a pageant in 2017 because nobody's really reporting on it aside from like the headlines, you know.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is, like, listen, I defended it. I was like, I'm not saying I defend pageants in general, but I was like, how is this different from going and covering like Victoria's Secret fashion show? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're selling bikinis. These are like young women who have, you know, something behind them. Like, they're scholars. Like, there's a reason why they got into it. And I don't think it was necessarily that they were all just a size two.
Yeah.
This is what I asked Emily to kind of try to uncover in addition to some of their beauty tips and tricks. And let's see what she came back with.
My name is Jennifer Turner, and I am a professional makeup artist, and I'm self-employed. My business name is Modern Makeup.
What are three things that I would need to do to get pageant ready?
Exfoliate your skin, bring fake lashes, false lashes, and put on a little more of everything than you think necessary.
What is the craziest thing you have seen or heard backstage at a pageant?
2 years ago, when I was doing the makeup as an artist, I didn't actually see it, but I heard about it, about somebody's face getting turned green. There might have been a makeup school involved, and I'm not sure what happened, but there was a lot of crying, and somebody's skin was green.
And so when you say green, do you mean like it wouldn't come off? Like a temporary stain,
no,
so to speak?
No, not quite. If you've ever heard of like using a corrector,
yes,
green is known to take away redness, but yellow should be preferred because it's closer to what your skin is naturally, right? Most people have a yellow undertone. Green would be like very heavy. If you had like an extremely red pimple on your face, you could put green and then cover it up with concealer and then your foundation. But again, that's a lot of layers. My guess is that this girl had like a sunburn. I don't know for a fact, but my guess is she had redness in her face, so they've tried to correct it with green and failed.
They Shrek'd it.
Good way to put it. Yes, they Shrek'd it.
Courtney Mandock from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
What's been the best part about doing a pageant?
Honestly, it's the confidence. I can see the girls, like, the change. I could see the change in myself from when, like, I first started it, and, like, my very first one, to where I am now.
So when you're not competing in the pageants, what do you do? Are you in school? Are you working?
So I'm actually about to enter my last year of mechanical engineering. I've chosen, like, as my beauty with a purpose, breaking stereotypes. Because of that exactly, someone looks, they hear that I'm a pageant contestants, I mean, there's countless stereotypes about those. They know that I'm in engineering. Okay, wait, what? First off, if they know of both of them, they can't balance them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you can be both? How can you be both? I don't understand, right? And then, I mean, just with everything else that goes around, like, I want to be able to help kids, and I do that as it is, and I love it so much. Like, it's so great.
Yeah, well, and I think, like, just the nature of what you just said, breaking the stereotypes and showing people, men and women and boys and girls, that you can be more than one thing is such a, like, such a foundational feminist approach. So is the pageant a feminist experience for you? Would you say it is?
Absolutely. People always see, like, feminists as, like, hating men, but no, it's empowering women, and I find the difference with, like, the miss and some of the, like, ladies that I've met here is that we want everyone to do well, because in them doing well, whoever ends up winning knows that everyone else was at their best and that they really deserved it. I don't know. It's really cool to be able to see that part of it, right? So it is definitely, and yeah, some people may say, like, because we're in, like, swimsuits on stage, we're in heels. Okay, yes, we are, but that's not all of it. Okay.
It's also a choice.
It is, completely. Like, no one's forcing us to do this. This is what we want to do.
You're going to it knowing.
And we have the opportunity to make a difference. And I think that means so much more.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit breakingbeauty.ca to sign up for our newsletter, and every episode will be delivered direct to your inbox so you won't miss a single thing.
And be sure to subscribe to us. There's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And if you're up for it, show your love by writing a review in iTunes.